good.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to finish chapter 28 today. We're talking about davening. Davening should be important to you. It's a big part of Judaism. And when people daven, invariably, their minds get distracted and all kinds of strange thoughts come our way. So that can be depressing. And if a person is serious about Avodas Hashem, and a person is trying to achieve success and feels that his or her davening is a waste of time, that can bring it down. So on a very simple level, that's what the Alter Rebbe is dealing with. He's dealing with the possibility of depression and sadness and despondency and frustration because you didn't succeed. And you feel like a failure. Nobody likes to feel like a failure. Nobody wants to feel as if they're getting nowhere. And if people feel they're getting nowhere, they give up. So that's, on a simple or straightforward level, what the Alter Rebbe is responding to. And he says that it would be true that the bad thoughts, that the distractions, would actually be indicative and prove that your davening is worthless if the same mind that thought the Narishkeit is the same mind that's trying to focus on God, or if you have only one spirit inside you. But since the Alter Rebbe says, in fact, there are two spirits within us, we're du-spirited, or whoever you want to call it, we have a nefesh elikis and a nefesh habahamis, we have a godly soul which is selfless in its very nature and God-seeking, and then we have an animal soul which is selfish in its nature and pleasure-seeking. And because a person has to deal with both of these very different kinds of souls and impulses, so the moment the person starts to daven, invariably what happens is that the other side kind of rouses itself from its sleep and it fights back. You corner a cat, expect him to claw at you. So this is not a proof that your davening is worthless. On the contrary, this would be a proof that your davening is actually extremely meaningful. And now the Alter Rebbe is going to use a metaphor, or two metaphors, to describe to you why he believed that the Toiras HaBaal Shem Tov strategy in dealing with Machshava Zara's bad thoughts was not to respond, not to engage, but rather to ignore and take the high road. So as mentioned in previous classes, it is true that there were some disciples of the Baal Shem Tov who seemed to indicate a value in analyzing a Machshava Zara, in taking a bad thought and entertaining it, meaning looking for its true source, and finding a way to sublimating or redirecting it so that it too should be used for Avodas Hashem, which sounds like a great idea. Sounds really nice that you should be able to take something which is negative and bad, turn it around and use it for something good. Except that it doesn't work, unless you're a tzaddik. Unless you're a holy, righteous individual who doesn't have their own bad thoughts, doing something like this is a downright foolish thing to do and will only bring you down. And Alter Rebbe now demonstrates why that's the case, and he uses a metaphor that all of us should and Meretz Hashem will be able to relate to. But before we go forward in this kind of home stretch of Perek Chof Ches, of the 28th chapter of Tanya, I would like to go out on a limb and suggest that really in some ways this refers not only to davening. I'm not discounting the importance of davening. Davening is a very important thing to do, and we should all be working on Avodas HaTefillah. You know, the Alter Rebbe had a life-changing moment because of davening. As we shared so many times, Alter Rebbe was a young man, and he had to choose a path. And he said he was going to go either to Vilna, to the Vilna Gaon, or to Mizritch, to the Magid, to study Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. So what swayed him? What made him change his mind? He said, in Vilna, I hear you learn how to learn. In Mizritch, I hear you learn how to daven. He said, learning kenach shen abissel. Learning, I know a little bit already. Davening, the Alter Rebbe said, I haven't the foggiest idea. So he went to Mizritch. And incidentally, it was not bromance or love at first sight. The Alter Rebbe was unhappy initially, and he even decided to leave. And it was only in the last moment that he turned around, went back to the Magid of Mizritch, became his youngest and arguably most outstanding disciple, who ends up clearly and lucidly creating what we call the strategies of Avodas Hashem of Toiras HaBaal Shem Tov, put it into a lucid strategy. So davening is very important. And it wouldn't be fair for us to take this out of its literal meaning and say, well, no, it's not really talking about davening. It's talking about life. It's talking about the other things in general. Because, you know, you want to relate it to everybody, and some people don't care about davening. But that's not fair. Alter Rebbe is talking to daveners. He does expect you to be a praying individual. And as a praying individual with an A, not an E, as a praying individual, a person who immerses himself or herself in davening, this should be important to you. But having said that, I would like to suggest to you that it goes beyond davening, and that people might feel frustration because, despite the fact that they toil in Avedis Hashem in trying to fix or rectify or elevate their midot, that all of a sudden they find themselves right back where they started from. Everybody has their own skeletons, lusts or cravings, challenges they deal with, be them forms of addiction to material pleasure, be it frustration in trying to deal with things like slothfulness, arrogance, anger, frustrations, whatever it might be. And a person feels he's not being successful, and you feel that the other side is dragging you down, remember that this is because there is a battle going on within us. And there are two proverbial kings who are fighting for control. And when one is successful or gains in strength, automatically the other responds with a renewed strength and attack. So having said all of that, let us move forward in this chapter. V'hu k'mashal, all of these things we talked about, the idea that the hirhurim and the taivis, that the lusts and the cravings and the desires and the bad thoughts that come a person's way, which disturb him from davening. And Alter Rebbe said that his opinion was, and the Teres of Hashem Tov believes, al yoshes leiv aleihem, do not pay any attention. You have to totally, simply reorient. Turn your mind elsewhere. Don't deal with it. Which sounds like a bad idea. What do you mean, don't deal with it? People have issues, don't deal with it. Sweeping it under the carpet usually doesn't help you deal with issues. What do you mean, don't deal with it? If you don't deal with it, you're not going to be able to lick it. If you don't deal with it, you're going to be dealing with it. Deal with it. That's what post-traumatic stress disorder comes from. People don't deal with it. Went through a harrowing experience, and I'm a tough guy, I can handle this. And you just move on. But you don't move on. It's there beneath the surface, and it's eating your kishkas out. So the question becomes, why the hell did I ever say that? Ignore it. No, deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with the Nefesh HaBa'amis. Deal with the bad thoughts. Look for the reason. Look for the source. Why is this coming? What's the higher ideal behind it? What's the godly energy that this represents? No doubt.
Not just push it till after davening?
No. These thoughts, totally deflect them. Do not give them any attention whatsoever. Now, this you raise an important point. But listen first to the metaphor. V'hu, this is, k'mashol odom ha-mispalol b'kavona. This idea, this idea of these bad thoughts coming your way, this is best metaphorized as a person who is davening. So our mashal, our metaphor is not so far from the origin. We're talking about a person who's davening and he has bad thoughts. So the mashal, the metaphor is a person who's davening, but here's where the metaphor changes. The oimed lenegde odol rasha, and there stands against him a person who is uncouth, uncivilized, spiritually thick, and he's wicked, evil. Umasiach umedaber ime, and he's engaging him in conversation. Not because he wants to have a conversation. What's his goal? His goal is kedei levbalvale. He wants to confuse him. This is only about obfuscation. So if a person comes and they're disturbing you, they say, please, not now. It's an issue. I promise you I'll deal with it, but let's deal with this in 15 minutes, in an hour. We'll get to this. Not now. And the way people deal sometimes with real issues, they say, I can't deal with this issue right now. Put it on a back burner. Let's schedule a time to deal with this, and we're going to deal with it. Nobody could say that's a bad idea. Well, I said, bad idea. You're scheduling the right time. Now is not the time for it. If the biggest problem sometimes people have in productivity is they don't know how to schedule time. Everything that comes the way, they start doing. Right? That's at least one way ADD is described. Things keep coming at you. If everything that comes, you just do it. And you do this, and you notice that. You then notice something else. You started 15 things in the morning. It's afternoon. You haven't finished any of them yet. In fact, you don't even know what you started anymore. Right? It's not a healthy way to go through life. So what do people like this have to learn? They have to learn how to focus. Now, what does actually pharmacology like Ritalin do? It hyper-focuses you. It makes you extremely, extremely focused in an abnormal way. So a person who has a challenge, can't function normally, should take Ritalin. A normal person, learn how to function. Don't rely on pharmacology to function. Get yourself under control and learn how to function. Pharmacology should never be the first answer. Pharmacology is the last answer. To use an artificial means to be normal is not normal. Right? What's normal is to struggle, to contend, to work with the challenges Hashem gave you and figure out how to deal with it. Yes, you will fail sometimes. You don't always succeed, but you have a strategy and you work at it. So one of the strategies is something comes your way and people get very distracted. Write it down. Write it down. People keep a list. Go back to your list. Whatever's on your list will get done. If it doesn't get done today, it moves from this page to the next page. That was the old days of day timers, and today people using an iPhone or whatever else it is. Write it down. Put it on your to-do list. Move it to the next day. Eventually, it'll get done. But instead of stopping what you're doing to do something else, simply write it down. I might forget later. Write it down. So if the machshava zara is a real issue, let's say somebody has anxiety about something, and you start thinking about, say, I have a real problem in my hands. I have a child, I have a friend, I have a spouse, I have an issue, and now I'm thinking about it in the middle of davening. And say, oh, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not dealing with it. Well, you need to deal with that. You can't just ignore it. This is a real problem. The answer would be, right, I need to deal with it. I will deal with it, but not right now. Now I'm trying to daven. And since now I'm trying to daven, that's what I'm going to focus on now. You know that the Rambam says, he quotes the Gemara, that when a soldier goes out to battle, if the soldier is thinking about the family, the soldier is committing treason. Can you imagine? Judaism, which tells us so much about the importance of family, tells the Jewish soldier, you're not allowed to think about your family now. Why? Because now you have to think about victory. And you have to dedicate yourself to the defense of the Jewish people 101%. And if there's anything that's going to get in your way, it's not the right time. We talked about the idea of davening, shas tzalaisa, shas krava. If there is a metaphor for prayer, it's a battlefield. And it's a combat zone. And you're getting thrown at from all sides, you're being attacked. So you have to focus on the battle now, not all the other things, important as they may be. So if it comes your way, what do? Not now. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about real issues. We're not talking about something which has to be dealt with. We're talking about the Rasha Masiach or Medaber Imei, that the wicked comes along and is talking to you, not because they seek communication. What are they there for? To disturb you. All they're there for is distraction. Just disturb you. They don't want to engage you. They want to vex you. They want to frustrate you. They want to get you to lose your cool. And then once they got you to lose your cool, then everything's good. That's all they ever wanted. That's what these demonstrators want. When demonstrators come, and they don't actually want a dialogue. They're not interested. They don't actually say intelligent things necessarily. No, they just make you uncomfortable. And if you've ever had a demonstration against you or against something you believe in, you know how effective it is. When you see people screaming and yelling and threatening, and it's very disconcerting. It's very, very frustrating. And you lose your ability to function. That's what they wanted. So should you engage the protester? Let's talk about this. The protest is very happy. Sure, let's talk about it. What do you want to talk about? And to obfuscate and spin things and do whatever they can to continue to disturb you from what you're doing. So you have to know what this is about. Once you know that this is actually a machshava zara, just a bad thought, a silly thought, a foolish thought, a lewd thought, a lustful thought, an inappropriate thought, maybe a holy thought, but not for now. It's not for now. Now you have to daven. And Mitamol, he says, you know, the Tanya you learned last week, I don't think you really understood that. I think, let's talk about that now. Let's not talk about that now. Let's daven now, because that's what we're supposed to be doing now. So, Shazois Atzose Bevade, this is the advice, with certitude. Shalela Hoshav Le Mitoiv Va'adra. Don't respond. Not good or bad. Don't respond. Lases Atzme Kecheresh Vele Yishma. Make yourself as if you were deaf, as if you don't hear. What do they say? No speak English. Can't help you. Don't speak it. Can't help you. Where do we see this? Where is there scripture? It has to be scripture. Al Rebbe is saying something unbelievable. He's saying, don't deal. Don't deal is not a Jewish way. The ostrich is not our national bird. Putting your head in the sand is not a good idea, per se. You have to deal with issues. And Al Rebbe comes and says, don't deal. L'kayim, this will fulfill Masher Kosov, that which is stated in the 26th chapter of Proverbs, verse 4. Altan ksil ki ivalte. Do not answer the fool like his foolishness. He's a fool. He comes to throw foolishness at you. He comes to make a fool out of you. So what do? Your answer is foolishness. What are you then? The same fool. Pentishvele gam ata. Lest you become just like him. And so the Alter Rebbe says, the reason is pentishvele. Don't answer him. Not because you don't have anything to say to him, to answer. You could answer his taina, his complaint, his issue that he brings up, but he's a fool. And in answering him, you place yourself on the same plateau. Now you're on equal footing. You took the fool and you responded to the fool. Don't respond to him. There's nobody home. There's nothing to talk to. And since you know you're dealing with an avelis, you're dealing with foolishness, you're dealing with stupidity, don't become foolish like that. There's a very, very sweet story of a chassid who was being disturbed from his avedas Hashem by three young men who thought it was funny to poke fun at the old man as he was trying to daven. Probably wasn't so old, in his 50s. And they were disturbing him and poking fun at him, laughing at him. So the chassid called him over and he said, I want to tell you a story. So they thought this was really cute. Oh yes, old man, tell us a story. He says, okay. It's a story of three dogs. Once there was a dog who, if you would go into his house, he would bark ferociously if you come into his yard. But if you didn't disturb him, he didn't disturb you. He said there was another dog. If you walked by the house, doesn't matter if you walk by, he immediately run to the fence and he'd bark ferociously at anybody who was in the vicinity. And then he said there was a third dog that used to run out of his own home and find people to harass and bark. And the chassid said, why can't you be like the first dog? Why do you have to be a dog for her? He didn't answer them. He didn't respond to their stupidity. He just made them aware that he saw them at right now as behaving like dogs. I'm not going to bark back. Is there any normal human being, when he gets a dog, barks at him, he turns around and bark back? That's a picture of lunacy. Who would ever do something like that? But the dog is barking. Ignore him. What are you going to do? He's disturbing me. Indeed. What's your option? Become a dog too? There's no option. Therefore, kach so too. Al yoshev me'uma. Do not respond. Period. V'shum taina u'mayna neged ha'machshava zara. Don't come with any kind of complaint. Don't come with any kind of answer. Don't come with any kind of argument. There's nothing to talk about. Because if you come with answers, if you come with responses, guess what? You and the Yetzer Hara, you and the Nefesh HaBamis are now on the same playing field. You don't want to be in the playing field with him. And here the Alter Rebbe gives us a zinger. Ki ha-mis'abek im'nuvol misnabel gamkein. Freely translated, if you go mud wrestling, you're guaranteed to get mud all over you too. You got a muddy wrestler coming your way. You want to stay clean? Just avoid him. Some fights can't be won. And the things you can't win, just keep on moving. Keep on trucking. So there's actually a sefer called She'edus Yisrael from the Rebbe of Velednik, who was a colleague, a peer of the Alter Rebbe. And he says something in the name of the Alter Rebbe, which we don't have in the Alter Rebbe's Torah, but I guess he heard as a friend of his, maybe in a conversation. He said a Torah that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to with the Jewish people to the Reed Sea, and there was a raging sea in front, and there was our Egyptian army behind, and there's mountain bluffs on either side, and there was nowhere to go. So what does Hashem tell Moshe? He says, Dabar al bnei Yisrael, speak to the people, and the Yisrael, keep on trucking. Just keep moving. He didn't say get involved. He didn't say don't engage. Just keep moving. Keep moving. So the message for us, the Alter Rebbe says, keep moving. You have a problem. You're having these thoughts. Push them aside. In the end, the most effective way to deal with issues like this is Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas means push it out of your mind. It's a mistake in thinking that everything has to be dealt with. It's actually not true. Issues that come externally, that are real, that are valid, have to be dealt with. If somebody has mental illness, it has to be dealt with. If somebody has lust, cravings, and desires which are simply unhealthy, and the Yetzer Hara has designed them to knock you off your post so that you shouldn't be serving Hashem, what's the response? Hesa Chadas. Debbie told us to upteen young people when they would come in Yechidus, and they would say that they struggle with issues and inappropriate thoughts and cravings. And the Rebbe's answer was always, Hesa Chadas. Hesa Chadas. Redirect. You know, in the nursery school, sometimes children, they flip their lids. Actually, it happens sometimes with adults also, they flip their lids. But when adults flip their lids, it's like it takes forever to recover. And they keep reminding you, for, you know, 3 months later, remember when I flipped my lid, I'm still angry. I have a foot. But kids are very sweet. They flip out, go crazy, and literally 2 minutes later are having the nicest time laughing. And they don't even remember what happened 2 minutes ago. It's like cute. It's like you go drive you nuts, and then 2 minutes later, they move on. Right? So the strategy which we employ today in early childhood is, when kids flip out and go crazy, what do? Redirect. Just turn their attention to something else. Because really, the thing they're obsessing over isn't that important. Now, people, things that adults obsess over also isn't so important, but they're not going to convince them of that. So they obsess over things, and it becomes an obsession, and it's very difficult to deal with. But with a child, the children are simple. They're innocent. They're straightforward. They're obsessing now. They're upset. Redirect. He doesn't even remember later what happened. In a certain way, this is a paradigm for life. Just redirect. Yetzer hara comes, focus elsewhere. Because if you're going to get down, you're going to get dirty. So don't do it. Rak, yasa atzme kileyadeya. You have to make yourself as if you don't know. V'le shemeh, you don't hear. Hayuhurim shenefele. V'yasira midayte. You remove them from your mind. And therefore, because you remove them from your mind, you won't get dirty. But the question is then, but how do I refocus? And here the Alter Rebbe adds a secondary thing, a secondary part of the strategy. V'yesif eimetz b'keach kavanosei. The result of all of this has to be to work even harder at davening well. Now have even greater focus. So this mashal, this metaphor actually is brought much later on in Tanya, in the fifth section of Tanya, the fourth section called the Geras HaKedesh. And there, the Alter Rebbe, he goes off in this philosophical theology. He says, so why is it that these bad thoughts are coming your way? Or what should you think when you have this terrible person who's standing in your way and trying to get you to stop davening? So the Alter Rebbe says there that this is only a messenger from Hashem, not the messenger we like, not a wanted guest, but this is just a messenger, and it's all about getting you to daven with greater fervor. That's why it's come. So what do you have to do? You have to treat it appropriately. Understand that this challenge is to make you stronger. You know, they say that famous cliche, whatever doesn't kill you will make you stronger. It's a cliche, and it sounds silly, but there is an element of truth to it. There's something to it. It's true. It's true that whatever doesn't kill us will make us stronger. And it's true that if we have a situation on our hands that gets in our way and we do not allow ourselves to be inundated and overwhelmed by it, what will happen? We'll get better at what we do. We get better as a result of pressure. We get better as a result of challenges. Challenges make us stronger, more resilient, and better. That is a fact, not a theory. Some of the problems that people have today is that their parents make sure to make they have no challenges in life. They put such a controlled environment, they overprotect them to the point that they don't know how to deal with challenges. Even biologically, they say that children who are not exposed to illness and germs and disease later on in life live very unhealthy lives. But the children who go to school and engage with other kids and come home with the colds and so on and so forth, they have a stronger later on in life. Why? Because the body built up immunity. I just go with sugar. The baby puts everything in her mouth. Everything. It's freaky. It drives you crazy. But the doctors say it's not such a bad thing because they get stronger that way. That actually boosts their immune system. So for a person to be in a padded area, you know, in the lap of luxury, with never having to want for anything, is not necessarily a good situation. We don't look for torture and pain, but challenges are healthy. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, how should you look at this? Why am I having these bad thoughts? Why is this Rasha Masiach Umedaber? Why is he coming to be Mevalbumi? And I don't want to be disturbed and I'm getting disturbed. Why? I don't want it. True, of course you don't want it. However, how should you look at this now? This is, I don't get to call the shots. This is the reality that came my way. What should I do with it? I have to use it to come even closer to Hashem. In other words, as they say, Every challenge is also an opportunity. Every challenge is an opportunity. So never let a good crisis go to waste. If a crisis comes your way, it's an opportunity. And because it's an opportunity, we have to harness and use it. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, he doesn't go into the whole mashal over here, and perhaps it's because it sounds too much like getting involved with the bad thought, and maybe people will get the wrong message here. And here, the Alter Rebbe's message is a very practical one. Here is the strategy. Starve. Cold, you know, scorched earth and starve it. Ignore it. Redirect. Focus elsewhere. Don't deal with it at all. So maybe that's why he doesn't want to talk about that. But he does allude to it here when he says, V'yesef emetz beker kavanase. So the response has to be intensified effort in davening. A bad thought, ignore, and daven even harder. So what happens if a person says, I can't do it. It's so hard for me. I can't deal with this. V'im yikshele lahasidim midayte. Sometimes it really is very, very hard. And it's not for any of us to judge somebody else who says it's too hard for him. Because he's very, very much displaced and disturbed by what's going on. And he doesn't feel he's able to focus. Then the answer when you're having a hard time with davening is, what's the answer? Daven even more. Yeah, that was the answer. But now it goes even deeper. The Alter Rebbe says, Yashpil nafshil Hashem. So then a person has to experience a sense of deep-seated humility. Lower yourself before Hashem. V'yishchananli is baruch machshavtei. Here the Alter Rebbe says, you may not be able to verbalize this. You may be in a part of davening where you can't speak. So what do? You make a silent prayer. You pray to Hashem mentally, emotionally, and you appeal to Hashem, l'rachem olav barachem av hamerubim. It never helps to appeal for divine mercy. Father in Himmel, you know, God in heaven, help me out here. Help me out here. I'm trying. I'm having a hard time. I'm deficient. I'm just a little creature. Give me a boost. And you know what? Ultimately, this goes back to what the Alter Rebbe said in the second chapter of Tanya, that every single Yid is like a child of the Eibishter, right? Some people obsess over one Jew that he's a child of God, the son of God. We say every Jew is a son of God. So every Jew is a child of God. And because I'm a child, what invariably happens? Every parent has rachmanis on the children. Even when children behave very badly, when the children say, please, have rachmanis on me, I have to have a heart of stone not to respond. So Yikocho Yerachem Hashem al Nafshe, certainly Hashem will have mercy on his soul. Hanim Sheches Meite is Baruch, the Neshama comes from the Eibishter. La Atzilo Mimayim Azidonim, to save him from the raging waters, which sometimes we compare this idea to raging waters. Uleman Yasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do on behalf, for you and on your behalf. Kichelek Havaya Mamesh Amei, because each and every one of us literally is, so to speak, a piece of God. So, when all else fails, break the glass and ask for mercy. Beg for rachmanis. And if nothing else, if you're not able to do this by yourself, you need a little extra helping hand, if you ask hard enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly help you. So this can be done. This is doable. It's possible for a person to daven. Nobody says it's easy. Nobody says it's simple. It might get so difficult that you have to appeal for divine mercy, but you can do it. And if you do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. You don't get down about things like this. You understand that they're but opportunities, and you intensify your efforts, and you serve Hashem with greater fervor. And with this, we conclude the 28th chapter of Tanya. And really, what will happen now is the Alter Rebbe, since he opened the door on challenges, since he's opened the door on things going wrong, bad in davening, which seem to be ultimately a way for us to daven even more intensely, to daven with greater fervor, the Alter Rebbe is now going to show us how by putting down the negative forces or bad side that we have to contend with, that is ultimately the best way to reveal the light and the power of the neshama. To be continued. Sure.